Day, good people. Contemplative Inner Being and me, Robert Farrell, are happy to welcome you to Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is a series of honest, inclusive, and contemplative reflections to encounter pure presence and discover deep inner connection to goodness, truth, and beauty. Wisdom is not knowing more, but knowing with more of you, knowing deeper. Wisdom may be experienced as a quiet leap of joy in the heart, absolute clarity in the mind, or a deep centeredness in the body. Contemplation, like the wisdom path, is an exercise in openness and keeping heart, mind, and body open long enough for us to touch what is deepest in us. With words, music, and silence, let us drop into our hearts and be present. Find a comfortable sitting position. Perhaps light a candle. If comfortable and you're not driving, close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Then please repeat out loud. I open my heart to love. I open my heart to wisdom. I am present. I am. You already have it. In the scriptures, there are two baptisms that are clearly distinguished. There's the baptism with water that most of us are used to, and there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the one that really matters. Until that water baptism becomes real, until we know Jesus and we can rely on Jesus, call upon Jesus, share Jesus, love Jesus, we're just going along for the ride. We can recognize people who have had a second baptism in the Holy Spirit. They tend to be loving. They tend to be exciting. They tend to serve others and not just be served themselves. They forgive life itself for not being everything they once hoped for. They forgive their neighbors. They forgive themselves for not being as perfect as they would like to be. The Holy Spirit has already come. You all are temples of the Holy Spirit, equally, objectively, and forever. The only difference is the degree that we know it, draw upon it, and consciously believe it. We would do well to fan into flame the gift that we already have. God does not give God's Spirit to those of us who are worthy, because none of us are worthy. God gives God's Spirit in this awakened way to those who want it. On this Feast of Pentecost, quite simply, want it. Rely upon it. Know that you already have it.
The Hebrew word ruach also means breath. Breath evokes the sense of the intimacy and presence of the Spirit who is with us always, even when we are unaware of it. Ruach is the breath of life and the power to live. Life-sustaining breath comes directly from the divine, the creative power of Yahweh who bestowed life upon creation. Ruach means breath of life, as when the dry bones in the valley come to life as a result of God's Ruach. Creation emerges out of the energies of God's own Spirit, bridging the gulf between creator and creature, actor and act, and master and work. Ruach can give life to the lifeless and bring renewed life to those who have no hope. The Spirit of God is at work in creation. Life and death are dependent upon the presence of the divine breath. God's Ruach sustains the being of the universe and energizes its processes. God is constantly present and breathes with the breath of the world. The Holy Spirit as breath is the force that gives life to all life in the cosmos. The Holy Spirit moves the biosphere and gives life to everything in it. Even in situations of death, sorrow, despair, and hopelessness, the Spirit can move us and create a space of joy to be alive. If it can bring back to life what was dead, what more can the Spirit do for us? Rest in this knowing. Come, Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit to bring those who are strangers together and to reconcile those who might otherwise live apart from those unlike themselves. The gift of the Spirit restores God's kingdom by establishing new social structures and relations. It is not withheld from anyone. The Spirit's gifts are not only for individuals. They have social effects, challenging the powers that be. The restoration will feature the equality of male and female. The restored kingdom will involve the empowering of men and women of all ages. In all of this, the work of the Spirit is heralded in strange tongues, not the conventional languages of the status quo. In effect, the restoration of the kingdom through the power of the Spirit actually overturns the status quo. People previously divided by language, ethnicity, culture, nationality, gender, and class will be reconciled in this new kingdom. Potentially, all flesh will be included within this kingdom. Do these characteristics continue to mark the church as the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Does the church still speak in the tongues of the Spirit, or do we remain captive to the divisive languages, structures, and conventions of the empires of this world? Our prayer should be, "Come, Holy Spirit," so that the proclaimed outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh might indeed still find its fulfillment in our time. There is no template, there is no right way to encounter the spirit world. It can occur as a simple understanding of unity, the non-duality of an observer and the observed, oneness, feelings of sacredness, peace, bliss, transcendence, a feeling of changing and transforming time and space, or an intuitive conviction that the experience is a source of objective truth and ultimate reality. The ordinariness of mystical experience broadens the scope of your personal identity. The mysticism of everyday life is an opportunity to deeply mine the depths of human experience, relationships with others, and our encounters with nature. To be a mystic is to occupy the core of human experience. Sometimes it comes in stillness when you're alone. Sometimes it comes without drama and fanfare. Sometimes it comes as an epiphany, an awakening. And sometimes it comes when you're practicing the gifts of the Spirit. Inhabit those spaces in your life. If you have a choice between a tall steeple church and a pew in a storefront in the middle of an impoverished neighborhood, pick the storefront, because there is more happening in the storefront than in the tall steeple church. There are mysteries inside those walls. Every ordinary thing is infused with mystery. I am an everyday mystic. So are you. Rest in this knowing. The wellspring inside. The Holy Spirit is the loving immensity of God's presence within us. Soul, consciousness, love, and the Holy Spirit can all be thought of as one and the same. Each of these point to something that is larger than the self, shared with God, and even eternal. One whose soul is thus awakened actually has the mind of Christ. It's called a spiritual revolution of the mind. This implanted spirit is the advocate who is with you and in you, makes you live with the same life that he lives, and unites you to everything else. This spirit of truth will teach you everything and remind you of all things as if you already knew this somehow. Talk about being well-equipped from a secret inner source. There is an inner reminder and an inner rememberer who holds together all the disparate and fragmented parts of our lives, who fills in all the gaps, who owns all the mistakes, who forgives all the failures, and who loves us into an ever deeper life. Contact this immensity. Look back at what seems like your life from the place of this immensity. Know that this immensity is already within you. The only thing separating you from such immensity is your unwillingness to trust such an utterly free grace, such a completely unmerited gift. This is the job description of the Holy Spirit, who is the wellspring inside of you, welling up into limitless life. Rest in this knowing.
The angels are listening. God is listening. I'm listening. Through the earth.
Slowly bring your awareness back to your surroundings. Take a gentle, deep breath and let it out slowly. You're invited to take time to journal, draw, or dance, any expression to today's wisdom experience. Until next week, we bless you with grace and love. And may you see the truth about yourself, no matter how beautiful it is. May peace fill your life, so love will overflow. Peace to all, light to all, love to all.